Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to yet another episode of My Bloody Whorecast.
We're your hosts, not your whores.
You know what? We'll be anything you want us to be, our faithful listeners. If that's what you want, we'll do it. We'll do it. We have no problem.
This is Steph.
I'm Carrie.
And we've only watched one or two movies together since our last episode, even though it's been a long time.
It's been a little bit of a crazy month, so we just ask that y'all just kind of, you know, forgive us this month. We'll be back next month with a little more, a little more material for your listening pleasure. So far this year, there have been some really interesting horror films. You've seen more than I have, but I think already we've got some pretty good stuff, right?
Yes. Well, we both saw a movie that is critically acclaimed.
Yes, it is.
And we had totally different opinions on it.
Absolutely.
Carrie,
and that's always good.
Carrie enjoyed it. I did not at all.
Should we start with that one or should we start... Let's hold off on that one for a second.
Okay, yeah, let's wait a minute. So one movie I saw that Carrie didn't get a chance to see yet was Truth or Dare.
Ah.
We had surprisingly high hopes for it, Carrie more than me. And I love, like, dumb teen horror. Carrie's pretty into it, too. But you want something there, like something.
Well, and you know, Jeff Wadlow directed, and he did Kick-Ass, and Kick-Ass has some fun stuff in it. There's some good stuff in there, if you like Kick-Ass. And, I think here's a guy with some, you know, he's got some major film under his belt. Obviously has some talent behind the camera. So, yeah, sure, try some dumb horror and maybe do something different or interesting with it, or, you know, turn a cliche on its head. Evidently, that didn't happen.
I would call it Final Destination Light, but I don't totally mean that as an unenjoyable movie. I still had a great time. I saw it in a packed theater with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
We were probably a decade older than everybody else there, but it was a very lively, reactive audience, so that made it pretty fun. And I think if you can get down with the premise that there is a demon that gets its kicks from exposing the secrets of completely unremarkable college kids and, like, tricks them into this game in Mexico, I don't know. That alone is enough to make me want to endorse this movie, though it's really hard for me to recommend it to anybody. Like, it's hard for me to say you should pay money to see this to anybody, but...
That's really what it comes down to. So you're just saying, steal it, don't pay for it if you have to.
Well, I mean, I've got MoviePass. I know a bunch of other people do. I think it's worth your time if this is the sort of thing that would amuse you. If you love the Final Destination series, this wouldn't have been the worst entry. I wish they'd gone a little further with some things. But yeah, I thought it was really funny. I mean... There's this one scene where there's a girl who clearly has a drinking problem and she's dared to, like, walk across this, like, roof ledge while, like, heavily drinking, and her friends are, like, frantically running underneath her with a mattress, and of course she's, like, walking right over this like, spiked gate. Things like that were so fun and funny to me. I had a great time watching it, and I was not always laughing at it. Sometimes I was laughing with it.
So this is an endorsement, though. I'm getting an endorsement from
Yeah. Absolutely a thumbs up for me, but it would be hard for me to tell someone else to, like, purchase a ticket and see it.
Gotcha. Is it as good as Wish Upon?
It's better than Wish Upon. It honestly is better than Wish Upon. I will say this. I'm a huge Pretty Little Liars fan. Mm. I wish this movie were as cuckoo bananas as Pretty Little Liars, with, like, notes being sewn into teeth and a blind woman playing a flute on a porch. It doesn't have any of that weirdness, but... I think Lucy Hale's a good actress. She's got this pretty porcelain doll face, and when she freaks out, you really feel it. There's only one scene in it, in Truth or Dare, that I didn't like. Mild spoiler. Okay, so do you know how in Showgirls, it's like a feel-good movie, but then there is a horrific rape scene, and you're just like, ooh, this just really... you can't laugh at that.
It just kind of bummed us all out. Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah, I think we need to go get a snack now or something. Yeah.
So Truth or Dare is, like, dumb and ridiculous, and I enjoyed it. But I knew there was going to be some awful reveal involving, like, one character's father, and it comes out with the Lucy Hale character. And I'm just like, why did this have to be there? But other than that, feel-good movie, dumb teen movie, I enjoyed it.
See, I love the Final Destinations, particularly the first couple. I think one, two, three are great.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's kind of meh. It just sort of gets, it's you know,
this is
diminishing
like a
returns.
Lesser entry.
So this would be like Final Destination 7, I guess. Is that right?
Yeah. Sure.
Here's my question, though. If it's, as one reviewer called this year's Wish Upon, which for me was enough to say, it's not a top priority for me, because you know how I feel about Wish Upon. Mm. But is there a scene as good as the scene in Wish Upon where the dad becomes cool by being a jazz saxophonist to, like, high school kids, you know? Is there a scene that good? Because that was the best scene in Wish Upon by far, that they thought that was the height of coolness.
There's not a scene that good, but overall I do think it's a slightly better movie than Wish Upon. Just a little bit.
That's not hard to do, so that sounds good. Okay. So
lukewarm recommendation for me. I liked it, but I don't think anyone else will.
I'm going to see. You know I'm going to see it at some point, and we'll talk about it, and I'll give you my...
We can also say we were going to do a remake episode. We're still kind of working on it.
In the future, I think it's probably worth doing it. I mean, we watched two movies for the remake episode.
We did. We watched My Bloody Horrorcast 3D, and then we watched the 90s Valentine? Psycho. Oh, yes. Sorry.
That's good.
That's us. I'm tired.
We've already produced three films. I'm pretty proud of us. No. So we did watch My Bloody Valentine Psycho. You know, I've talked before about my affinity for the original My Bloody Valentine. It's probably been since the first episode that I talked about that when we were doing our bios for our first horror Oscars episode.
That's right.
Yeah. So just kind of refresher, My Bloody Valentine is the first film I ever saw that truly scared me. Like, it frightened me. I had nightmares for weeks. Like, I remember my mom coming in because I would, like, be screaming, you know, when I woke up. Finally, I figured out, like, my conscious mind created ways in my dream to stop the killer that was coming after me. I was much more creative when I was a kid. And I solved my dream. It was really weird. Like, through just sheer concentration and trying to come up with something ridiculous to destroy the killer. Because in the dream, the killer from My Bloody Valentine is coming after me with a mask, you know?
I really love that horror movies inspired you to be brave and creative and proactive in your dreams. Because I love horror movies, but they've had the opposite effect on me. I still have recurrent nightmares from lots of things that I had nightmares about as a child. That's... But I don't think anyone's going to say, like, My Bloody Valentine 3D is better than the original. That's ridiculous.
No, I don't think it is at all. What I do think is that it's a lot of fun. It's wacko.
But we both like it.
We both like it. No, it is. Here's what's fun about it is that it just kind of goes off in some bizarre directions. It's incredibly gory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, way gorier than it probably needs to be. And there's some bizarre, like, plot twists that kind of don't make sense, but kind of do. It's a fun movie. You got some, some well-known TV actors in it. The guy from Supernatural. It is fun. The lead actress.
Jamie King
is in it. So you've got some late aughts, like, actors and actresses that really aren't doing a whole lot now. But it's a fun movie. It's a fun movie. Not as fun without the 3D glasses.
No. I will say this is something I did get to see in theaters in 3D, and I loved it. So
I got to see it. I remember renting it from old Blockbuster, but I rented the 3D copy with the glasses, watched it on a friend of mine's big TV, and randomly enough, we had a bottle of wine. It was the only booze at the house, so we watched My Bloody Valentine 3D and 3D glasses at the house with a bottle of wine. There you go.
Oh, you should have had a heart-shaped box of chocolates.
Yeah, maybe not for that night. It wasn't that good a night. But yes, so that's a fun one. The Psycho remake was kind of interesting. I did not like it originally.
No, I hated it originally. And when we started this time, I think I still had the mindset of hating it. And it's because you can't think about it like you're watching Psycho the story. You have to think about it and it being a shot-for-shot remake, referencing the original. Like, if you're keeping the original in mind, it's not better than that, but it's an interesting examination of it. And the more I thought about it that way, the more I got into it, and I really appreciated a lot of the color choice. Like, first, I love that it's in color. And the interesting thing about 90s Psycho, first, the cast is really good. I mean, I still don't understand Vince Vaughn as Norman Bates.
No, he's not good. He's not good in that role. And Vince, if you ever hear this, I think you've done some amazing acting jobs. I'm just saying that. I'm not, you know. But I just don't like. I don't like. I can't buy him as Norman Bates in this movie. That's that's the problem throughout for me. Once he shows up on screen, I have a hard time with any of the really intense scenes, particularly the shower scene, which I thought was awful in comparison to the original.
Oh, that's not good. But that's what I was thinking. Like, original classic Psycho, the beginning up through the shower scene, it's so perfect and classic. But I would argue that, like, 90s remake shot-by-shot Psycho from after that to the end, the second half, is kind of more interesting in the remake to me. Like, I was more engaged with the story. I really like... I wasn't sure about Marion Crane, like, the Anne Heche character being, like, super snippy and stuff. But the more I thought about it, they were taking the same dialogue, her and then Julianne Moore as the sister, and giving these characters, like, more bite. And I thought that was really interesting because they had almost no agency in the original.
Right. They're simply a... They're there to further the plot for Hitchcock, absolutely.
And I started to think it was really fascinating the way people were treating these roles. Like, I feel like both of those actresses, like, went bigger and more interpretive with those roles. And then actors like William H. Macy as the private eye, he like, went by the book. Like, he could have been an older Psycho.
I loved Macy when I first saw this film.
Oh, he's great too. They're all good to me in different, interesting ways, except for Vince Vaughn. Anyway, I really liked Psycho remake this time. I wasn't expecting to.
I don't think I liked as much as you, but I think I appreciate it a little bit more for what it is than I probably did originally. The subliminal crap is just kind of ridiculous to me.
I wish he'd gone more subliminal with it. Like,
but that makes it not a shot-for-shot remake, you know? That's the thing.
It's if
you're going to hold to a rule, and if you're going to hold to a rule like that spectacularly, there are weird breaks in it that, you know, make it not exactly the original.
Is it just in the William H. Macy scene? Was it somewhere else? I can't remember.
There's a couple
other
scenes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shoot,
I mean, I'm being nitpicky. I'm being nitpicky, I know.
I wish it had been nonstop the whole movies and those shots had been milliseconds so you couldn't quite make out what you'd seen.
I would be okay with that. But having it show up every once in a while. But anyway, again, that's nitpicky.
But I didn't even bother. I don't know. I guess because I was expecting to hate it so much, and we started watching it together, and I'm like, yeah, this still sucks. And then by the end, I'm like, you know, that really wasn't that bad. I was like way more engaged this time.
Yeah, it feels less of a movie to me than an experiment. And that's okay.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Gus Van Sant's done that before. He's not a mainstream director. He's going to take chances, which he did with this one. It was a huge box office flop, which isn't surprising to me. Shouldn't have been surprising to anyone, I guess. But yeah, you know, I mean, again, he took a chance. He did something different. I don't hate it.
And he was backed by a major studio with a wide release.
Yeah, that would never happen today.
I think that's awesome.
That's awesome. No. But yeah, so no, I still don't love it. I do like it more. Maybe not as much, but I definitely see the validity of that idea.
Totally. Well, do we want to talk about the one movie we both saw separately, separate reactions?
Yeah, let's talk about it. So, this year's darling indie horror hit so far is A Quiet Place. And it's, I mean, this movie is already, this is like so far, the only comparison I can give you is the Get Out of 2018. Now, it doesn't have the social ramifications or the freshness of Get Out. However, it does have the runaway appeal that Get Out had from the get-go. I mean, this movie's been a massive hit. Tiny budget. It's already 10 or 12 times exceeded its budget.
That comparison hurts me, Carrie, because I love Get Out and I hated A Quiet Place. But I will give you that because it is the sort of movie...
Only in that...
That everyone's watching and has
just
enjoyed.
Just in the hype, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's nothing like Get Out. I mean, Get Out's one of the best films in general in the last few years. You know, take the genre out of it. So yeah, you've got, you know, the whole thing about A Quiet Place, most of you already have read up about and probably know about. But, you know, there are creatures that have acute... sound capabilities, and they can hear sound from evidently thousands of feet away, small sounds. And so humanity has had to adapt to these creatures, and they are trying to survive by being very quiet. You could read into that there are allegories to our political climate now, I think, through this film. I read some different things into it. I think there are some, you know, whether it comes to the family unit, the idea that that you have to make a sound to change anything, you have to speak up, but there are forces that, you know, around you that are designed to keep you quiet.
Something they wanted to code in there. To me, I think that's giving that film too much credit. I really feel like John Krasinski co-wrote and directed himself in this self-sacrifice hero role, which I thought was corny. And I also think a lot of the emotional manipulation sort of fell flat on me because I have zero maternal instincts. And this is essentially a movie about parenting and people who sacrifice everything for their children. But it's also about two idiots who see bringing a baby into the world as a symbol of hope and are forming this family, raising these kids with the idea that there is a future. I thought it was reckless and despicable that they decided to conceive a child in this world of sound monsters. I was so annoyed. I mean, usually the science of science fiction doesn't bother me, but I hated that they did shit like make felt pieces for the Monopoly. Like, those will make a noise on the board, but all the soft crying and, like, heavy breathing, and there's, like, a fucking lantern on the floor. Like, those aren't going to be noisier? Come on! And then, this is just full of spoilers, so hopefully everyone interested has seen it, but...
Warning, spoilers ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that monster is the Demogorgon from Stranger Things with a giant ear for a face. And the children are drowning in corn kernels. And I'm like, I can't take this movie seriously. I can't take anything about this movie seriously. I hated that it's like this couple. Apparently, the Emily Blunt character. Yeah, she's supposed to be a doctor, which I wouldn't have been able to infer. But anyway, everything annoyed me about this movie. Everything. And I felt bad laughing because I saw it with a friend who is a mother who cried at one point, which I don't fault her for because it's emotional and she was watching a child get killed who was roughly the same age as her child. But it just, nothing about this struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think I had a very different reaction to you. There were a lot of things I really liked about it. There are definitely some plot points that were an issue for me, no doubt. But I thought the movie was gorgeous. I thought the performances were fantastic. I thought the production design, the sound, the cinematography, the visual effects, that all that was great. I thought the script was really good. I thought the acting, particularly by Millicent Simmons, the deaf actress who plays their oldest child.
I appreciate that she was casted.
She is phenomenal. It's great.
It's too bad that character was wholly unlikable, as was whoever her little brother's character was.
Yeah, see, I thought they were pretty likable. They're kids. They're kids that can't express, that have to be quiet all the time, so they can't audibly express their anger. And they're going through changes. She's probably getting close to puberty. These are kids that can't fully express themselves. So no wonder they're in bad moods. No wonder they're brats sometimes. Can you imagine being in a world where you can't talk? So you have to find an outlet to express yourself.
Let's bring more kids into that scenario.
I bought all that. Well, here's the other thing. I don't necessarily think it's despicable. I think it's very possible that they had a child, and it could very well have been an accident. We don't know.
It was not. I don't think it was an accident.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah, the friend I saw, was she like leaned over and she's just like, were condom wrappers? Was opening that too noisy? They're at this pharmacy. Was there no like contraceptive pills?
I just know a lot of people that have had mistakes have happened. Try as hard as they want as they might. So I don't fault them necessarily for that.
I think they should have tried a little harder in this world.
maybe so. But I'm not going to fault the characters for that as much. I thought Krasinski was great. I thought, you know, he's just doing what a lot of directors have done in the past. There are a million writer directors who have written themselves into a movie that they directed. The script was brought to Krasinski too by, the screenwriters went to him and said, hey, will you do this? And he said, sure. And originally he, was only going to star in it. And then it just worked out that they were like, do you want to make this your next, directorial, effort? And he said, sure. Also, originally, Emily Blunt was not going to be in either.
I heard they fired the actress who they had hired so that she could be in it after she decided she wanted to be, which also kind of annoys me.
It could be. She's Emily Blunt, and if her husband's directing the film, I'm not really going to fault them that much. Mm-hmm. It's kind of probably going to happen. I thought that she was excellent in it. I thought Krasinski was really good. Sure, he's basically doing like a Frank Capra kind of thing, this film. It's a classic old school Hollywood old kind of monster movie, and he is playing, his character did not bother me. I thought he was great in it. I didn't think he overacted per se. You could say his last, sure, it borders on hokum because it's a very earnest movie. The movie is incredibly earnest. And people are going to hate that. I get that. I'm sure a lot of people are going to hate the fact that it is so earnest. That didn't bother me because it was well made, and I bought most of what was going on in it. There were a couple things that bugged me, no doubt. I mean, I think it's hard to keep the sound thing consistent on the exact same level the whole movie.
Was so messed up, Carrie.
Where they didn't quite pull it off. They didn't pull it off. But I thought that really my big thing was the way they figured out how to stop the creature. I thought that I'm shocked that no one had figured that out before them. That to me was just surprising. But for the most part, I thought they did a pretty good job. Again, there are some inconsistencies. Anytime you have a high concept like this, we could break down every movie that we love or hate, and we're going to find inconsistencies in it. It's going to happen.
There was just nothing. You know what it is? Maybe it's not a bad movie. It's just really, really not my type of movie.
It just may not. See, I'm developing
a Natalie Portman hatred of John Krasinski.
I'm a father too, and so I mean, maybe that does hit more. Maybe if you don't have kids, maybe it is a different experience. I was very moved by their storyline. I thought it was compelling, and I thought it was very like in the beginning when their first son, we see what happens to him. Like that hit me in the gut. That was a really heavy moment. And their challenges throughout the rest of the movie to like the fact that their daughter doesn't feel like she's like they love her because they're concentrating on so many other things trying to survive. There were a lot of things happening with the family unit in there that felt real, that I thought were really compelling if you look at it from...
And they didn't annoy you.
No, not at all. No
I
way.
Was very upset with the way that the two children were treated differently, where the son's not interested in going on this fishing waterfall trip. The daughter really is. She doesn't get to go. And then when they get to the waterfall, this place where you're allowed to make noise because it's a larger sound, I'm like, why the fuck didn't you just build your house by the waterfall? Like, so many things made me angry.
I don't think it was that... They didn't want their daughter to do anything. They expected everybody in the family to do things, right? I think that John Krasinski won a minute with his son. I think he won like the father-son heart-to-heart. So I have no problem with that scene whatsoever.
I think that's another dated gender stereotype. He could have bonded with his daughter in a way that she was interested in.
He could have. But there's always going to be the father-son, mother-daughter connection. That's a real thing. Like, that's legit.
I know. I just hated everything in this movie. Literally, while I was watching, I was just thinking to myself, like, I need to go home and talk to Dean about having a vasectomy because, like,
This is funny. This is probably, you and I normally like most things together. This is definitely as opposite as we've ever been on a movie, ever. No doubt.
You know what, though? I do think a part of it is just me, because I'm developing some weird prejudice against it. Like, even from the beginning, I wasn't as excited as everybody else was. And then I went in there and everything. I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, is everyone buying this? This movie sucks. And I'm like, yeah, everyone's into this except for me. So, I don't know. I'm willing to accept it's just me and I have some weird sour grapes prejudice against this movie that no one else feels.
I'm sure that the mainstream minds loved it. I'll bet if you asked a lot of our, a lot of people that we know here in town that are not attuned to the taste of a mainstream audience as much, I'm sure they would hate the earnestness of this film. They'd probably all hate that aspect of it. No doubt.
Okay, but... Horror aside, I'm also the sort of person who saw the new Tomb Raider movie and appreciated that level of earnestness. So,
yeah, I probably wouldn't have liked that movie.
I know. So it could just be a matter of taste.
I think it is. And that's fair. So A Quiet Place, Hard division on that one.
Yeah.
We're talking like the old Siskel and Ebert, one thumb up, one thumb down kind of thing.
Deep thumb down.
I don't know why I just mimed thumbs up and down the air when no one can hear me do that.
You could hear it in your voice.
That's right. That's right. It's really happening, folks.
Yeah, I gave this 2 stars out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, this would be
and
probably...
And I would have gone lower, but I'm just like, I have to respect that they came up with an original storyline.
There were just so many things. I thought the movie was actually beautiful to watch, too. I thought cinematographer Charlotte Christensen, I thought she did had some great shots. That bridge scene is in New York, and I love where the camera kind of sweeps in as they're walking on that bridge and their path of sand. Just so many things about the film that I really, really appreciated.
I was talking about... Oh, sorry, Carrie.
No, just from like a production standpoint as well as what's on screen.
So one more thing that really bothered me. I was talking about A Quiet Place. I will talk about it with anybody anywhere. If you like live in Athens and you see me, just stop me and be like, this is why you're wrong about A Quiet Place. I loved it. Here are all the things. Because I've talked about it with so many people. There was one other person who found things annoying. It's Marie. And we were Facebook messaging about it.
Marie from, yep, all right.
And one thing that she noticed is she's just like, why would you put this young boy who you know is already picking things off the shelf he shouldn't be at the back of your, like, caboose train walking back into town? And it's like, put him in the front and keep an eye on him. And
I'm should have.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
No wonder you're all racked with guilt. You should be.
Sure. And that's, I mean, you know, but that's assuming that this is, like, these people are perfect, you know, or that they should, like... If you're in the wasteland of, like, this post-apocalyptic monsters all around, you're probably going to mess up.
I just hate all the precautions they took versus the ones they didn't. Like, soundproofing that part of the baby cellar barn and the box and stuff. And I'm like, why not an entire room in your home where you sleep? Like,
yeah. I also get the sense that they probably did some things. I didn't explain this in the story. This makes sense to me. I'm sure after their son died, I'll bet they changed some things. I'll bet they added some precautions. I have no doubt that some of the things we see later on in the film... may not have existed in the beginning of the film. It's very possible.
And I will say, just going back to criticize myself, my non-taste, I had a hard time. I think I just started hating this movie like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
So,
but you already said you were lukewarm beforehand, yeah. So sometimes that'll make a difference.
So don't take my word for it. Take the word of literally everybody else. It's clearly a movie worth watching in theaters and talking about with people.
I think now, though, you may have an underground cult army of folks who despise this movie, and they may join your side, you know?
Well,
possible.
So far, I only know... Well, I went with 2 friends. One who is a wonderful friend and coworker and mother, and then my other friend, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe Marie, who I think still liked it, but just had some things that, like, bothered her. But Chris and I are the only ones I know who just weren't fond of it.
I went with my friend Jessica, and... I liked it better than her. I think she wasn't particularly, like, thrilled by it, but she didn't dislike it. I think she was like, okay, this is kind of, you know, this is fun. I don't think it quite grabbed her as much as me, but I don't think she hated it either, so.
She still landed on the positive side.
I think it was just over on the positive side, yeah. Yeah. But so.
Interesting.
So now what we'll have to do is, this is an episode where you absolutely hate a film, which is rare that I love and you absolutely hate. Now we're going to have to do a Black Christmas episode sometime soon. So I can talk about the movie that I hate that you love.
I feel like this will just instill in the mind of anybody listening that I have ridiculously base level taste. And you like good things that are critically acclaimed. But I am a Black Xmas, that Black Christmas quote unquote remake truther. Mm. I think that movie is delightful. I think the only mistake they made was calling it Black Christmas.
I think the only mistake they made was making it. I think that was the only mistake. It was just one mistake that it was actually a film that was made.
Comparing it to the original Black Christmas is not right, because it really is its own movie.
It is most definitely its own film.
There's so many eyeballs. It's filthy with a bunch of incest storylines. Like, Billy is jaundiced, and you see plenty of him.
You do. Yeah, no, it's
and
one of those...
And they up the cheese factor, which I like.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone in the house. And it's maybe the last point in horror movie history that you could really set a killer in a house calling.
Yeah, you can do that now. Yeah, it may be worse than the Prom Night remake, and I thought that was awful.
Carrie,
I thought the Prom Night remake was... It was that bad.
Prom Night has nothing Black Xmas has a lot of creative kills.
Prom Night
and
is.
All the actresses are fully invested. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is amazing.
That's such a shame because she's great. Mary Elizabeth Winstead's a great actress.
Black Xmas. I think it's good.
Oh, God.
It's real good.
It is maybe the worst remake I've ever seen in my life. I truly feel like that is just...
Black Christmas is one of my favorite slasher movies. But I don't consider Black Xmas the same thing. I really think it's its own thing, and I think it's successful in what it's trying to be. And I love it. I think Ice Skate Kill is one of the best kills, but we will talk about it later.
Yes. Yep. No, we'll have to agree to disagree vehemently on that one. Yes.
Well, I guess this was our mini episode.
This was our mini episode. So we appreciate y'all listening along with us. We're going to have some really fun stuff coming up in the next couple months.
Yeah.
And I hope y'all will continue to stick with us. We're going to have some guests coming up. We've talked about it, but we're actually going to do this. We're going to have some of our friends get on with us and talk about some fun stuff. And
we're trying to recruit this entire family.
Basically the entire family to be in various episodes with us talking about film. So that's going to be fun. And we're thinking about even doing a little video podcast at some point. So
yeah,
I think that's in the works. And... hopefully, you know, y'all get a chance to see who we are. You know, we'll come out from behind the mic.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Ooh, maybe I'll wear a mask.
What do you mean? Steph is like one of the most fashionable people that I know. Like,
no.
That will be no problem. I'll be the slob over here. I'm the one that's going to have to, you know, get it together.
But yeah, we're excited about having some guests on.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had a regular schedule, but we're thinking of sticking to something a little better going forwards. And
we want to make this more consistent.
We're
going to
talk about
y'all.
Some weird things next time.
Yeah. We're gonna have some strange stuff next time. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Absolutely. We hope you all have a great time. And come back and see us soon.
All right. Bye.